Welcome to Texans on Tap, Episode 5. I'm Brandon Strange, alongside senior content contributor Charlie Palolo and SportsApp.com editor Josh Jordan. Follow them at Palolo and at JoshJordan975 on X. Jack Braham is producing behind the scenes. Gents, in a weekend of Houston sports, the Texans were not the team that Houston deserved, but the one that they needed. They rout the Jags in Jacksonville, never trailed. It wasn't always pretty, but it sure was entertaining. We'll always start our recap episodes, I think, highlighting C.J. Stroud. Brevin Jordan had the quote of the afternoon following the game saying that, quote, the best thing that happened to the Houston Texans franchise was us beating the Indianapolis Colts last game last year. We drafted the right guy. Each of the last 3 weeks, we have seen improvement from C.J. Stroud. I know the Jags did a lot of things to get in their own way, but considering Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson not playing right now, did the Texans luck out into drafting the right quarterback here?
I want to suggest to Brevin Jordan to tap the brakes just a little. We're three games in. Oh, by the way, take that, Arizona Cardinals, going for the top two picks in the draft, owning the Texans pick, and they put it on the Cowboys, pushing themselves down even further. Again, we're just 3 weeks into the season. Water will find its level. But hey, the Texans themselves, obviously Texans fans, any cause for genuine optimism? Hadn't been around for multiple years. It has arrived. I wonder if sodium pentothal, or if just in a moment of actual candor and honesty, Nick Caserio would say, well, yeah, if Lovie Smith wasn't a freaking genius, we'd have taken Bryce Young with the number one pick. I mean, it wasn't an open and shut case. There were legitimate opinions both ways. Bryce Young, the more developed, canny thrower of the football in the estimation of most, but he is so slight of build, and here he is already knocked out injured. Right, Anthony Richardson, raw tools galore, but running quarterbacks get hurt. C.J. Stroud can run, but he's not a running quarterback. He's obviously much more stout in the pocket than Bryce Young, and Bryce is probably a little old for a growth spurt. You know, I hope for one for a long time, and it just never kicks in at a certain age anymore. So that Stroud, three games in, yet to throw an interception, you know, among the many things that you could point to and say, oh, that really helped the cause in Jacksonville, the Jaguars being a clown act for a lot of the game near the top of the list, but only 30 pass attempts. Remember, we talked about how last week, no matter how good Stroud is looking, he can't drop back and throw the ball 45 times per game. It's not the way to play winning football, and he probably winds up getting hurt if he's going to set the league record for attempts in a season. But completing two-thirds of his passes, the running game, by and large, was still stinky, but they at least handed it off enough to, I guess, try to command a little respect from the Jags defense. And hey, you know, I don't know if they're locked into Texans on Tap yet. They should be, but you have to throw the ball deep at least once per quarter. Tank Dell, a couple of huge plays, and it was a whopper of a blowout win. The Jaguars couldn't get out of their own way. You know, early missed field goal, relative short field. Texans go 61 yards for a touchdown. Then after the blocked field goal, the Texans only have to go 42 yards for a touchdown, but they went for the touchdowns. 17-0 into the third quarter. Uh-oh, 17-7, 17-10. And then Jacksonville screws up. The Texans bobble a kickoff return. Jaguars lose all their lane integrity. And a 250-pound guy gets to the outside, and Beck goes 85 yards for a touchdown, and basically ball game right there. So the third biggest underdog on the board Sunday in the NFL wins by 20. Celebrate it when you can. But there are at least, you know, seeds being sown that the Texans have a real future. And they did that all the way yesterday, minus their best offensive player per position right now in Laremy Tunsil. And defensively, a guy who's supposed to be at least their second best player. And you have to be really worried about Derek Stingley. Will he ever sustain health in his career? But that's a separate topic. All right, I rambled, Josh, all yours.
I think the Houston Texans have themselves a quarterback. I know it's only three games, but you're seeing all the things you want to see. You see him getting better every week. It just feels different. This is the type of game a couple years ago where you'd get up on the Jags and you'd find a way to lose it in the fourth quarter. I noticed Jimmy Johnson at halftime saying like, oh, I know the Texans are up, but the Jags are going to come back and make this really close. And, you know, you can't blame him for feeling that way. But the difference is C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell. And they couldn't really run the ball. You had to count on CJ to move the chains yesterday, and he did with an offensive line that looks like that. I mean, they stepped up. They didn't run block very well, but they pass block good enough. CJ didn't get sacked. Then the no interceptions is huge. And you just look at most passing yards with no picks this year. It's Justin Herbert, 939, and Stroud at 906. We're not just comparing Stroud to the other rookies. We're comparing him to some of the best quarterbacks in the league. And that was what was exciting to me. I was watching some of the Red Zone channel yesterday, and I'm seeing some of the top receivers and, you know, Justin Jefferson's numbers. And right next to him is Tank Dell. And I'm seeing the best quarterbacks in the league, CJ Stroud. This is new for Texans fans. It's exciting. Damian Pierce, once you get Tunsil, Titus Howard back, you should have a running game. The defense, way to go, D'Amico. I was a little critical of him last week just because I felt like Lovie got off to a better start last season with his defense. They stepped up yesterday without a lot of important players. Will Anderson, they didn't get any sacks, but they did get the blocked field goal. So I'm feeling really good about CJ Stroud and with Tank Dell, with Robert Woods, Nico Collins. Coming into the season, that was one of the knocks on this team. They didn't have a very good receiving core. Well, it turns out, you don't look that good when Davis Mills is throwing you the ball. Now that you got CJ, you got something. So I couldn't be more optimistic right now. I like what I'm seeing.
Now, the way the game flowed obviously impacts how often you may need to try and throw the ball, but they cut their pass attempts by a third yesterday. Right, a little over 45 per game in the first two, 30 yesterday. Well, they cut their sacks allowed by 100%. Right, 11 times CJ Stroud ate the turf in the first two games, zero on Sunday. You cannot overstate the significance of that.
And part of that was CJ's decision-making. He was very, very good at being aware in the pocket and being able to read the defense and kind of know when he needed to get rid of it. And I think part of the play calling and kind of decision-making for him is he was dictating what the defense was giving him. And I mean, when you got Tank Dell getting behind the secondary, you're going to go with that every time. On the defensive side, Josh, you hit on this a little bit. Texans get two takeaways, a fumble and an interception courtesy of Eric Murray and Blake Cashman. Again, the Jags did themselves no favors. Shout out Calvin Ridley and Brandon McManus for helping the cause. And this was the second week in a row with no sacks, although they did force an intentional grounding towards the end. What did you guys see from the defense?
I mean, they were down a lot of players. Derek Stingley being out really concerned me, but Steven Nelson's a good player, man. He's having a great season. He deserves that little bit of extra money they gave him. So I've been really impressed with him this year. You know, as far as the linebackers, it's not great, but there's still some improvement to be made there. Toa, you know, he was making the calls, and that was the one thing that's going to continue to be an issue going forward is ETN was kind of having his way, you know, on the ground with the Texans. I don't think that's going to change for a while. They're not super big up front, so they're going to struggle a little bit there, but they didn't let it beat them yesterday, so that's what's important. I thought Jimmy Ward being back at safety was huge just as far as getting the calls in, having some veteran experience back there. That was huge. I'm seeing Aaron Wilson is reporting that Petrie is expected to be back at practice this week. So if you get both your starting safeties, that's huge. I know Stingley will be out for a while, but I think they'll be okay at corner. I like their chances going forward. The defense is just going to continue to improve. Will Anderson, the more reps he gets, you're going to see some stuff from him. He's going to get some more sacks going here.
I think the big picture, who will become their number two pass rush threat? Does Jonathan Gennard have the chops to be that guy, whether it's health or performance? Right, Will Anderson, you don't want him facing constant double teams or the occasional double team, and a tight end chips him on his way out to a route. Certainly, you'd rather be able to get pressure with a quality four-man rush, able to keep seven in coverage and pick and choose when you blitz and can get a little bit exotic rather than needing to gimmick it up and expose your secondary. You know, and I will say, you know, it's early to rush to judgment, but when you've been dying of thirst as a Texans fan, you know, this littlest glass of water, chug that baby down. Over the next 2 years, who's the best quarterback in the AFC South? Trevor Lawrence is a nice young player, but I don't think he has elite tools. He's a big, strong guy. I don't think he has a huge arm. He is not in the arm league of Herbert or Allen or obviously Mahomes. So I don't think this is as Jacksonville emerged last year down the stretch and into this season as the team to beat in the AFC South, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is, oh my God, we have a decade of Peyton Manning to deal with, or you thought it might be a decade of Andrew Luck before he called it a career early. I don't think the bar is that high that the Texans need to clear to become a threat in this division.
Yeah, if I'm a Jags fan, I'm a little concerned about Trevor Lawrence. I would feel like you would think he's getting a little better, more mature, figuring things out. And I mean, to me, Stroud looks like he's improving so much faster. He understood that the O-line is dinged up. I got to get the ball out of my hands. And he was so good under pressure. That was one of the kind of knocks on him coming out of college. He was great under pressure on Sunday. So they've got so many weapons to go to. I think it's going to be a real game changer when they can run the ball a little bit. And then that play action is even more impactful. And yeah, you look around this division, the Titans were terrible on Sunday. I'm not worried about Ryan Tannehill. We'll see what happens with Anthony Richardson. The Colts look good. They went and beat the Ravens, but Gardner Minshew, you don't worry about that. We'll see if Richardson can stay healthy, but you got to like Stroud in this division moving forward. And with DeMeco running the defense, you could just kind of feel that emotion after the game. The guys love playing for him and they respect Stroud and they're saying all the right things in the interviews. I don't know if you could expect anything better at this point in the season if you're a Houston Texans fan. Maybe two more wins.
And I mentioned this before we fired up Texans on tap. I mean, as an entity, not as a prediction, but as a crazier things have happened. Over the last decade in the NFL, on average, one team per year wins its division that finished in last place the preceding year, right? The NFL is constructed for parity. It's just a four-team division. There is no superpower in the AFC South. It is not a million to one shot that the Texans wind up in this race in December. And you're looking back and, well, Baltimore losing that game to Indy. The Ravens really rue that in their battle, maybe keeping the Steelers in and the Bengals with a struggling start and the Browns with that defense in the AFC North. Well, in the AFC South, maybe Jacksonville saying, we lost a division home game to the Texans in September. And now here we are in week 16, week 17, and we haven't shaken them yet.
Yeah, and I just playing on the quarterback.
Saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. Look at the quarterbacks they play coming up here on the schedule. We'll get into a preview of the Steelers a little later, but just looking ahead, you got the Steelers, you got the Falcons, you got the Saints, the Panthers, and the Bucks. Do you feel really any better about any of those quarterbacks over C.J. Stroud based off of these three games? Plus, Carr is dinged up. He got hurt on Sunday. We'll see when he returns. But out of all those quarterbacks, give me C.J. Stroud.
It's not suggesting anything ridiculous like the Astros losing 7 out of 9 to the Royals or A's. Like
that's hey, awesome. Too soon.
Well, I just want to point out, and Josh, you talked about this, but I just want to point it out from my perspective. Think about how polished Stroud looks this soon.
Yes.
Limited snaps in the preseason. This is only week 3 that we're talking about here. It took Trevor Lawrence a full season before he actually looked like a pro quarterback. We're seeing some really positive strides from CJ Stroud right now. You have to be encouraged about the future for this team. So let's just wrap it up on this. Feels obvious, but who is your player of the game?
Yeah, you know, the nature of the position and the way he's played, CJ Stroud's a lot natural candidate every week, but I'm going to go Dell, who if not underutilized the first 2 weeks, was not overly utilized. He's not going to be Tyreek Hill. I just think he's too small to be that kind of player. And Tyreek Hill is small, but he's thick. But Dell, as that, put the fear of God in some defenses, and as the Texans to use him as a stretch the field weapon and occasionally hit that big play and occasionally draw that long penalty. At college, it's only 15 yards. Hey, he gets behind three guys. Jacksonville chasing him on the first half deep ball yesterday. That is just an element that benefits any offense, and where more so than with a young quarterback to grow with and also achieve while growing.
Yeah, I'm taking the easy one here. Sorry, guys. CJ Stroud. I've been so impressed with him, and especially looking at when the draft happened and kind of the upside for him. We heard people like Greg Cosell saying he does have similar traits to what we saw yesterday from Trevor Lawrence, that he should be valued as a prospect like him. But for whatever reason, people like Bryce Young a little better. They like the athleticism from Richardson. So I'm going to go with CJ and Bobby Slowick. Nice job. It looked a lot faster and cleaner, and the play calling was a little more creative. Give him a little tip of the cap as well.
Well, that's going to be it for episode 5 of Texans on Tap. Thanks for listening, and go Texans.